I know he's an all-time god. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
I know he's an all-time god.
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time.
Well, he's an all-time god. Yes, he is. An on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Church, he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Give him a real good hand clap of praise if you love him. I know he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Church, he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him another big hand clap if you love him. Amen. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord today. How many of you enjoyed church here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Do you appreciate God's grace to us? You let us know exactly what we need to do to straighten up. I'm so glad for that, aren't you? Aren't you glad you've got a loving Savior that loves you more than anything in this world? Well, shake hands with somebody. Just tell them this. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and fellowship. It won't hurt one thing. It won't hurt one thing. Just let somebody know you're a little bit friendly this morning. Amen. Some of you couldn't get up on the wrong side of the bed because the bed was against the wall, I bet. So we're glad that you're here on the right side of the bed this morning. Somebody say, I'm glad to be in church. Somebody say, I'm really glad to be in church. Somebody say, I'm tickled to death to be here. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Amen. Oh, what a privileged people we are. We're going to look at our prayer requests. Just got just a very few. If you just remain standing, Brother Daniel, if you get ready to come this morning, take us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Byron Palmer wants to praise the Lord on behalf of his cousin, Philip Bruce, who lives down in Wilmington, North Carolina, real close to the water. No damage to his home, and there's just no problems whatsoever. They want to praise the Lord for that this morning. Amen. I want to request prayer for a Melissa Mounts. It's a lady who has a student over at Happy Valley High School suffering very bad with cancer. We just want to commit her to the Lord and ask God to move on her behalf this morning. I want to pray for the Moyer family. Very urgent needs in their lives. God knows all about that need. We'll just commit it unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Michelle Swafford's grandchildren. Both are running a high fever, not feeling well this morning. Also, her cousin is very sick. And also, Sister Michelle has a very special unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many needs among us, but we're serving a prayer-answering God, aren't we? Do you believe that with all your heart this morning? That's not just words. That's real. We're serving a prayer-answering God. Do you believe that with all your heart? Appreciate this guy right here, what the Lord's done for Brother Daniel. Amen. Amen. There's never been a job custom fit for anybody. He fits this job perfectly, doesn't he? We love you, buddy.
Thank you,
buddy. God bless you.
Amen. Well, I'm tickled to death to be here this morning. Amen. Thank God for what He means to me. You know, I was coming to church this morning. You know, as we was driving down the Elizabethan Highway, I saw a sign. And all it said was, I am. That's all it took. Amen. I began to think over in Exodus, the third chapter, where God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He said, told him that he was going down to send him down to Egypt to deliver his children. He said, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell him that I am has sent you. Amen. He said, I am the deliverer. I am the one that was with Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. Then over on in the Bible, it says that Jesus told him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I'm glad that I know him this morning. Amen. I'd like to ask you to remember me in prayer. Monday I'm supposed to call and get an appointment for surgery on my throat one more time and see what's going to happen. That'll be in Johnson City, so it'll be local. But I'm so glad. I have never doubted God. Amen. I know that He's a healer. Brother Keith, He's a healer. Amen. He's going to see us through. Let's take these needs to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be in your house today. Thank you for the sermon that we hear last night. God, we pray that our communication, the things that we speak with our mouth, God, that they'll be holy in thy sight. And God, we pray for this congregation and this people. God, that you'll just move for me in a special way. That you'll supply every need, every problem, every sickness. God, there's nothing too hard for you, Jesus. God, help us to commit them all to you. Those by the way of the internet, I pray that you'll be with them. Supply their need. Be with our pastor this morning, Jesus. I pray that you'll just bless this service in a special way. Every song that's sung, every prayer that's prayed, may it be seasoned with the Holy Ghost. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, we got somebody special here with us in the service today. And we've been praying for this person for several weeks, and the Lord has just made it possible for Brother Aaron Cobb to be back in church with us today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Aaron, you and your family are very much loved around here. I just want you to know that, buddy. And we've been thinking of you and praying for you. And sometimes you just you find words is hard to find. Words just hard to say. But sometimes a good cry before the Lord, Brother Terry, is one of the best blessings I ever got in my life. Is when I just cry before the Lord. Can't think of nothing to say, so I just cry. But you know what? We're going to a land that tears will be foreign. There won't be no tears shed in that city. They might be at the marriage supper land, because the prophet said that the king himself will come out and take his hands and wipe the tears from your eyes, saying, don't cry, it's all over. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Tears will never stain the streets of the city we're going on. Sister Janet, we're going to sing this song on behalf of you and your family this morning. I know you've lost a dear little child in your family, and God knows what he's doing. Tears will never stain the streets of that city. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing it, Brother Harry. And tears will never stain the streets of that city. No wreath of death on my mansion door. Teardrops are welcome beyond the gates of glory, and our hearts will never break anymore. Say that chorus again. Praise the Lord. Let me make this announcement as the ushers come this morning to receive the morning offering. We want to welcome all of our visitors. We've got a lot of visitors still here with us in the service. If you are a visitor, raise your hand so we can see you this morning. Give them a nice hand all over the building. God bless you. We're glad to have you here with us. All those that are streaming the service, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make an announcement. Sister Alicia, if you want to come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing, Brother Chuck Dixon is here. Am I right, Brother Larry? Brother Chuck is here. He didn't know this, but he's going to give us a song this morning. Every time I ask him, he's got some kind of a good alibi and a good reason. Now, he got no reason this morning. He's been called on, so he's going to sing for you. Brother Michael wants everyone that is helping with the Fall Festival. We will be having a meeting on Wednesday night after service to discuss all the things that's going to be taking place. We need about 10 guys this afternoon, about 7 p.m. over at the pavilion. Over at the pavilion to move some display items. He said it would take about 10 minutes for you to do that. So remember that. If you can go over this afternoon at 7 o'clock for about 10, 15 minutes, help Brother Michael do that. It won't take you very long at all. And we'll get that took care of. Let's sing a little song this morning. We're wearing it out real quick, but I can't think of nothing better. Where's Brother Chuck at? Where is he? Somebody lead him up here.
He's on his way.
Praise the Lord. We love Brother Chuck Dixon, don't we? We love Sister Alicia Babb too. Amen. My God is awesome. Do you believe that this morning? Somebody say, my God is awesome. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. All your heart. My God is awesome. Yes, he's awesome. They sing for you today. You can be seated. God bless you.
Sun is set, the day is done. The battle's been fought and the victory won. Now it's time to slow the pace. Renew my strength in this quiet place. How I long to meet you here. this quiet place. You had your garden where you went to pray, and I have my room at the end of the day. And when I can't find the words to say, your spirit speaks in a beautiful way. Sun is set, the day is done. The battle's been fought and the victory won. And now it's time to slow the pace, renew my strength in this quiet place. Renew my strength in this quiet place.
I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. And I know what Jesus did for me. And I have seen the lowest scene, sick soul, blinded eyes, and make them whole. And I have felt Him loose the chain of sin and set my spirit free. And I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe Jesus saved me, and I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and the touch of His hand.
But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. And I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
Wouldn't miss that for nothing. We appreciate both of our songs this morning. Very beautiful. You appreciate our singers. Amen. Amen. We're going to learn a little course together this morning as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. You want to pray for your pastor today? You appreciate your pastor today, don't you? I know you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is a very simple little course, but we want this to be the theme of our gathering together. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Is that your desire? Somebody say, that's my desire. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power. your desire this morning. Amen. Amen. Certainly appreciate our man of God, don't we? Amen.
What a great honor it is for God to live in us.
Amen.
You've heard me say it before, and I'll probably continue to keep on saying it. The devil will live in anybody. Liars, thieves, whoremongers, don't matter to him. He'll even get in dogs, pigs, hogs, monkeys. Not our God. Our God's picky who he gets in. So if you have him in you today, you ought to be very, very thankful. Amen. Yeah, good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's read together before we pray. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wow. Y'all believe that? You believe that a person that's really filled with the Holy Ghost and has the Word of God in them, that they have the ability to minister grace to other people? That's what the Word says, isn't it? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. How many would like to be remembered today? I need it as well. Lord Jesus, we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence we were taken, and we know lest the body change comes, we will all go back that way again. Father, we're so grateful to know that we will not remain there. Though our atoms and our molecules may dissolve, yet, dear God, we know that there is a promise of an image in your book, which was spoken before the foundation of the world. And one day, Lord, when you speak again, that image will gather together. All these cells will come back together again, and it'll make a body. Eternal life will be breathed into that body, and we will be as we were intended to be at the beginning. But, Lord, until that time, we desire to be the kind of people you want us to be here in this life. We don't want to just be survivors, Lord, to barely hang on from day to day. But we want to be an overcoming people, a victorious people, a people who have in their inheritance not only intellectually that they know what they have and they have scriptures and quotes to back it up, but we want to be a people of possession. A people who possess what is ours. And we know that footprints means possession. Every inch of the ground that we have in God, we must fight for it. But we are willing to, because we are of the family of God. Speak to us today, your great words, Lord. I need you so much, Lord. Please help me, Jesus. Give me direction, I pray, Father. Give me the leading of the Spirit of God. Help the people, I pray, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again today on the little fox of rotten thinking.
Amen.
Or if you'd like to have it a context, you can call it stinking thinking if you'd like to. Whichever you feel is more theologically correct. Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word corrupt is rotten, putrefied, corrupted by one and no longer fit for use, worn out, of poor quality, bad, unfit for use, or worthless. Communication, logos, word, saying, speech, a kind of style of speaking, a kind of style of speaking. Reason, the mental faculty of thinking, meditating, reasoning, and calculating. You are what you think you are. If you think you're no good, more than likely you won't be much. If you and I, as the people of God, can become what God's Word wants us to be, I believe the bar would be raised in our lives, in our homes, in our churches. We see God among us. We're so grateful. Constantly God answering prayer, constantly doing things among us. But I feel the way Brother Branham did in perfect faith. He said, we see apostolic times moving among us, but we long to see more of it. I do, don't you?
We got many folks that are sick. We got many folks that have difficult things that they're going through in life. But I believe that we'll ever get to a place we'll be exempt from it in the marriage supper. Not until. But I believe that there is a place of victory that God has for each of us, even though we're going through very difficult times. And the church said, amen. It doesn't mean that as the people of God we'll ever get to a spot to where we'll never be sick again. Never have trouble, we'll never have heartaches. But it does mean that we can be in those spots to where God's grace will be able to testify that there's something different about us than every other mortal that faces the same kind of things. Because not only do we have divorces in our homes and our families, so does the world out here. We not only have sickness, so do they. We have folks in our family that have cancer, folks in our church that have cancer, so do they. Are we going to be different from that in the sense of our bodies? We're not going to be, because our cells, our molecular structure is basically the same as theirs. But we want to be different in the way that we handle it. And different in the way that we go about looking at it. And also believing that our God is able to deliver us from such evil. And ultimately, if He does not bring divine healing in this life, then we will get the ultimate divine healing. Whenever we leave this world, we'll enter into the new body that we should have had in the beginning. But until that time, we want to walk into the realm of the mind. And truly, this is an age of the mind. Not just the intellect, but the very mind of God. And we believe that God wants a people that can live in that place. And we know that intellectually, of course, man, no doubt has never been where he is now. In the antediluvian destruction, pre-antediluvian time, man was of a great intelligence, able to build the Sphinx, the pyramids, and so on. But yet, man, no doubt, has excelled many, many ways comparatively to that. According to what Daniel said, man would get weaker, but he would become wiser at the same time. So I'm sure that science, electronics, chemistry, and many things have advanced beyond anything that has ever been before. And at the same time, we're weaker than we've ever been. We've got better drugs, we've got better hospitals, we've got more doctors, we've got more therapists, psychoanalysis, we've got all kinds of things, and yet we've got more sick people than we've ever had. Well, wonder why it ain't taking care of it all, because that's not the answer within itself. Now, we thank God for everything that the Lord has allowed man in the right type of balance to be able to break into. Don't you? I thank God for the doctors that really care and those that really want to help us. And we know a lot of them. All they want is a big living, a nice house, and 3 or 4 Mercedes, and that's all they care about, being a doctor. But there's some out there that really do care about people. I'm grateful for those kinds. But yet we know that no doctor has an absolute cure for everything. There is no shot, there is no scan, there is no thing that they can be able to inject into your body which has any type of healing properties. It simply helps aid nature. But yet God is the one that has the only thing that has the answer for everything that we go through in life. And in that, much of what God has given us, He's actually empowered the human body with much of what the human body needs to be able to deal with in life. And if we learn more about who we are and what we are physically, also spiritually, it helps us to be a better man, a better woman, a better boy or girl, because we're learning more of what God made us in the beginning. God made a great thing when He made a human being in the beginning. Now, truly, the book of Genesis actually condenses the creation of man, and it does not go into all the neurons, the neurotransmitters, all the things that God made inside the human body, all the chemicals, all the muscles, and all the tissue and sinew and bones and marrow, and all the things that God made in the human brain, that actually God made the brain to be actually your own private chemist. In your brain right now, all of these chemicals are being released every second of your life. And God placed your own personal chemist inside your body, which is your brain. Now remember, in that, God made it so that you would be dependent upon Him. God never wanted any human being to where that they would live their life in this earth and that they would live exterior and depend upon the things from without. God wanted them to live in total, total unity with who He was. But yet, Satan is a great scientist himself. You see, let's play place God on this side of chemistry, of true science, of true creationism, of all that God made. And then we'll place this other being called Lucifer, Satan, whichever one you desire to call him. And we'll call him the mad scientist. He is the one who also has a great understanding of biology, of chemistry, of all kinds of weather, of all kinds of things that are in the world, of the prince of the power of the air, that's his title. So he knows a lot of things about man, about creation, about the laws of gravitation, science, electrons, electricity, so on and so on and so on. Now, he cannot create any of those things. He cannot create the laws. He cannot create new neurotransmitters, neurons. He cannot create chemicals and things. But what he can do is break in by his angelic understanding to the laws and the science by which God originally made. And then he tries to understand what God has done. And he takes the human being and he takes the natural elements that are around us. And he tries to go in and pervert those things to make the man to where he will break the cycle of dependency of what God meant for him to be. Now, in each of us today, while you've sat here no longer than we've been here in church, already all kinds of things have been going on inside of your body. No doubt you've had different types of feelings, whether they were happy or sad, whether they were emotional reflexes, things that you've been experiencing while you've been in church. And by the time I get done, you'll experience a lot more, no doubt about that. But yet, as we face life, we go through all these things. So Satan cannot create any of those things, but he studies the human being in order to find out what he can do to hamper or hinder or take away from the human process of what God made each of us to function properly. Everybody with me on page one? Some of you looking like you're in another world, either that or I am. Praise the Lord. Now, God made the body, of course, where it was a tremendous thing. It is actually within itself is a miraculous thing, what God made the human body, because life is a healer. So the body has all of these abilities to heal itself. The body has all of these things within itself to constantly flood us with all kinds of feelings and emotions. And God made our structure to where that it was just bones and cells and all these things, and did not release chemistry inside of our body, which would affect our moods. I'll tell you, we'd be about like a piece of wood. We'd be something that just move around like an animal, but we would not have the affection that we would have as humans. We would not have the emotions that we have as humans. We would not smile. We would not laugh. We would not have any of that that God made. Yet God made the human heart to be happy. But he did not mean for it to be happy and to be responding constantly to things that are without itself. Now, this is what becomes sin. And I know many folks don't understand it, why we preach against things in life, because this is the bottom line for much of it. If you lay aside much of the things, just say alcohol and drugs and all kinds of sports activities and all kinds of things there, the main reason all of those things become wrong within themselves is this one thing. Because Satan wants you to take them and put them inside of you and replace what God meant to be inside of your life. That therefore makes it sin. Because it is the sin of substitution. Substitution is a sin in the eyes of God. When you and I substitute anything, whether it is joy, peace, happiness, whatever it is, when we substitute anything, and though the thing we're using as an act of substitution may not be wrong within itself, it is the act of substitution that we are doing, because we're saying, I choose this over God. I choose this over God. I choose this over God. I choose this over God to give me happiness. I choose this over God to make me feel good. That's what makes it sin. Well, praise the Lord. Now, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. Now, either we can do that or God's a liar. And you and I both know God is not a liar. So when you tell me you can't, I guess you know who I think the liar is. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the Christian then has the ability to capture thoughts that are not godly. To capture thoughts that are contrary to the word. To capture thought that would begin to exemplify or magnify a wild imagination. Because sometimes our imagination is a good thing. Other times it's anointed of the devil. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. And that's where we have to cast down anything about our imagination, whether it's imagining that there isn't a God, or that God doesn't love you, or that you're not welcome at this church, or whatever that it is, that Satan will try to exalt your imagination above the promise of the Word of God. It is our responsibility and our right to be able to cast down that imagination. And then to bring into captivity every thought linked with that imagination, which tries to pull us away from the Word of God. Now, you know what I'm going to read to you this morning from a scientific and medical perspective, you'll find out will totally harmonize with the Word of God and with the message of the hour. As I mentioned to you last night, that Brother Branham was calling people out and telling them these things in the 50s before science ever broke into the understanding. Why? Because we had a prophet on the earth, which was the channel by which God could break into the fourth dimension. Now we know God created seven dimensions: light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. The first four dimensions are the four that we live in contact here, which is light, matter, time, and science. So God created them knowing that in time on the earth these dimensions were needed. And yet God also understood that after the fall, man would break into them more and more. Medical science is breaking in to the fourth dimension like never before, so is electronics, electrons, light, and so on. Man has never understood so many spectrums of light as he does now. He has the infrared light. He has all different types of light, the white light, the pink light, the blue light, all different kinds of light, because it is the age that we are living in. So it is a time of great enlightenment. But it's also a time of great enlightenment for the elect of God. So Satan had the ability then, once he fell, to break into these dimensions that God made, and yet God did not stop him from doing so. This is where part of the warfare would be. And it's the same time God then allowed prophets to come down, and they would break into the fourth dimension by a gift. Now the gift different than what you and I have. It's not a gift to believe. It's not a gift to be able to sing. But it's the ability to be able to peer into the fourth dimension with your eyes wide open. And you stand there looking into another realm, and you see yesterday, you can see tomorrow, you can see 1,000 years down in time. It is the realm of vision. But not only did prophets see visions, but the further vindication of a real true prophet of God is, he has the ability not only to see a vision, but to interpret it. And if what he says don't come to pass, don't pay no attention to it. That's right. Well, praise the Lord. Now, notice this. So whenever Satan broke into this realm, then he also was able to break into the human body. Now, to us looking at it, we have, of course, several medical people that are here, nurses and folks that study the medical, you know, all that thing, you know. Most of us, we don't pay no attention to that. We don't have no clue about how we're made up. But yet, at the same time, I think if we open today by the grace of God, open ourselves and look into what we are and see the great creation of God, and see how that God has enabled us as human beings to walk in a sphere, not only spiritually, but naturally, that we can live a better, more fruitful, overcoming life. Now, I'm not preaching the smile religion to where that you just go around and name it, claim it type of thing, but I would like to see some of you folks living the kind of life God wants you to live. I'm talking about getting your head out of the gutter. I'm talking about enjoying come to the house of God. And instead of just coming there and sitting like a bump on a pickle, I want you to be the pickle. And I want you to feel bumps. Amen. Them Holy Ghost bumps that used to run up and down your arms. Amen. And you recognize your sons and daughters of God. Instead of setting your life, everybody in the world is against you and you're a loser. It's time we wake up and realize who Jesus Christ has made us. Let's venture, shall we? Studies have found that positive thinking has helped victims of crises recover more quickly. Thinking positive thoughts helps you to be more resilient, enabling you to bounce back from serious or traumatic experiences. A study conducted at the University of London found that seniors, all right, all you folks over 50, seniors who thought positively tend to age healthier. I want that. What about it, Brother Skip? What about it, Brother Jimmy? Oh, some of you young folks are sitting there smiling. Don't worry, it won't be the few settings of the sun. You'll be wanting this too. You're laughing at us old folks now. Yeah, it won't be long. We was where you were at one time, but we ain't no more. Now notice, this means that they suffered from fewer physical and emotional health problems as they got older. They even had a longer life expectancy than their negative counterparts. And one study published in Science Direct, positive thinking was proven to help people tolerate pain, considering that stress and negativity causes pain sensations to be stronger. So the devil makes you sick, then he makes you negative, so the pain will feel worse. I wish I could smack him right in the mouth. You think about what an enemy we're dealing with that will make us sick and then make us negative and all down in the mouth. And what that does is make our pain even worse. Well, praise the Lord. I'd say he's mad on a hornet after these two weekend services. My goodness. It's easy to see how positive thinking can help reduce the pain. But it also helps you take your mind and thus tolerate it better. But what do a lot of people do? They stay on the pain, the pain, the pain. Oh, I'm not belittling that. But do you understand? You are magnifying what Satan has put in your body. And if you'd only let what's in your body, God put this in your body to release endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, GABA, all these things that God put in your body to help you naturally in life. In numerous studies published online, researchers have found that people practicing positive thinking tend to be healthier thanks to the fact that they take care of themselves. They do more exercise, eat better, enjoy their hobbies, going to church, shouting, talking in tongues for us, recreational activities more, and more socially connected, sleep better, and live better lives. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't even want this just as a natural man, get out of here right now. Leave us alone. Any of us ought to want this. High blood pressure is one of the many things that can cause heart disorders, the number one cause of death in the world today. Positive thinking has been proven to lower blood pressure, and thereby preventing the risk of hypertension and other heart problems. Anxiety has been directly linked to heart problems, so positivity is the key to a healthy heart. I ain't telling you to quit eating your Cheerios. I'm not telling you to quit taking the things that naturally helps you. But what good does it do to eat 500 gallons of Cheerios?
and then be as negative as you can be.
Are you the kind of person who has a problem with chronic negativity? Or all your internal thoughts, put downs, negative? Is your self-talk filled with the word can't? If so, it's time to change your negativity to positivity. For your health's sake. And your wife and your children and your husband and your uncle and your pastor. Please do it for me alone. Oh my, it's not going to be easy to change the way you think, but it can be done. Here are some ways you can change your habits from negative thinking to thinking positive thoughts. You ready? Here we go, it's deep. Smile. It may sound trite, but did you know that smiling has been scientifically proven to improve your mood and thought patterns? When I was studying this, I thought, Brother Terry will never die. All the rest of us around here look 85 and 90 and 110 years old. He'll sit there and still look about 45 or 50. The muscles in your forehead are directly linked to your brain's emotional center. And creasing them into a frown can make you moody and depressed. I had this thought this morning that for years and years this church has been identified as the skirt church. So I thought after preaching this sermon, probably there'd be another addition added to the skirt church. It'd be the smiling church. They'll think, sure as the world, we got a direct link down to Texas. Oh my. Smiling, on the other hand, sends positive, happy thoughts to your mind. Get in the habit of smiling more and you'll be happier all around. So what does Satan do? Fill our lives with so much gloom and sadness and sorrow and sickness. And we go around without hardly a smile. With this look on our face. Of sadness and sorrow and depression. Then your body starts slowing down the producing of serotonin. Then it ups the production of cortisol, which deepens your depression. Oh, but the scientist has a fix for you in the form of a pill or a joint or a bottle of beer. So he robs you from your body making what God made it to make. And then offers you a substitute. Here you are. I've got this for you. Oh, it'll help you. It'll lift you up. My, you'll be fine for a little while. You will be till you crash. So he robs us. And then he offers us something outside of our God. In the form of a little fox called substitution. Praise the Lord. Can I go on? Whenever you catch yourself thinking negative thoughts, make a conscious effort to replace it with a positive one. In fact, you can make it a habit that every time you think something negative about a person, situation, or challenge, you have to think two or three positive ones. Within no time, it will become a habit. But the truth of it is, some of you is too lazy. It's easier for you to pop a pill. This requires work. I'm going to keep on, or I'm going to lose my job here sure as well. I'm probably going to have to wind up moving to Timbuktu or somewhere. Instead of complaining when you find yourself in negative situations, take control and don't allow it to happen. Make a conscious choice of whether or not you will do something and stop being a victim in your own life. Start thinking about your choices. Take a look at the people you call friends. Are they positive people always looking for good in life? Or are their attitudes trimmed toward the negative? Instead of hanging around people that will accompany you in your misery, find people that will help to pull you out of it. The more positivity you have in your life, the brighter the world will become. But Brother Donnie, we're ready to see, I know that. There's trouble all around us, I know that. But we're fixing to leave this world. But I don't want to leave with the mully grubs. I want to leave here a shouting, happy Christian. Are you stressed or worried about a situation in which you find yourself? Take your eyes off yourself and start helping someone else deal with their problems. You may realize that your life isn't as bad as you thought, and things are pretty great for you. That's why God done for Job. God told Job, go over and pray for your friends. And the Bible says Job prayed for his friend. God ended his trouble. But we focus on us and our home and our there. Oh God, it's so bad. Why don't you move beyond yourself? Why don't you move beyond what I think and what I say? There's people that are hurting all around you that's in much worse shape than you are. Y'all ready for another one? Oh, it's deep. I don't know if y'all can receive it or not. Maybe I'll just skip on it. It's... Science has proven that singing helps to fight depression and boost your mood. And I agree with you, some of you can't carry a tune in a lard bucket. But apparently it's still good even when you can't sing. You don't have to sing good. David said, make a joyful noise. That's all some people can do, is make a noise. Some people make a beautiful noise. Some an artful noise. Some a wonderful noise. Some is just joyful. They're singing with all their heart. They're not really a special singing type of person. They're not the type of person that are blessing to a lot of people. But they are making a joyful noise, and it does something to them and can affect other people that are around them. Can you imagine? Science has proven that singing helps to fight depression and boost your mood. The more you sing, the happier you'll become. It's a great de-stressing activity. Plus, it's a whole lot of fun. And if you listen to yourself, or some of you that can't sing, you'll see why it is so much fun. You'll get a smile out of it. Oh, that's crazy, Brother Donnie. Is it indeed? Lord Jesus, have mercy on the man. May he come to Calvary tonight by faith. May God, through the mercies of Christ, heal him just now as I bless him in Jesus Christ's name. Now, sir, you go. As you go, go rejoicing. Go be happy. Sing songs all day long. He never asked a man if he could sing. He never asked a man if he could sing specials if he was in the choir. He just said, go sing songs all day long. I want you to look up in this year. This is 8/17/1952. I'm so glad our doctors and scientists are finally catching up to the message of Malachi 4. Can you imagine how absurd this must have seemed to some of the people there? But God had a channel that could break into that dimension and say, this is the way I made you. I made you to be happy. And this is one of the keys. Sing songs all day long. Now the Beatles won't cut it. And the monkeys won't help you. And ACDC and DC, YODC, you'll be banging your head against the wall if you're going to listen to all that stuff. It's going to have to be songs of substance and songs of deliverance. Notice this, go be happy, sing songs all day long. You're that quiet type of person. So this is not the outgoing, flamboyant, loud type of an individual. It's a quiet. Now, can you imagine what a difficulty this is going to be for a quiet type of person? A person who's the outgoing, flamboyant, life of the party type of person. It ain't hard for them to sing because they love attention anyway. But for the quiet type of person to go around and sing all day long. Now watch this. You're that quiet type of person which will hurt you a little later in your life. You go on. Just start singing hymns and rejoicing. Testifying of your healing. And it'll leave you. Now the man still had it. Here he's standing under discernment by the prophet of God. And the sickness is still there. It's hinging upon his singing. And his rejoicing. And his being happy. What's this in Mary's belief? Oh, we didn't have so many other things on our mind. You know, sometimes we come to church thinking about tomorrow, I've got to do this. The next day, I've got to do that. When we come to church, we ought to lay aside every thought and everything of the world. Enter into fellowship with Christ and worship. Meditating, worshiping in our hearts, and giving songs and praises unto Him, thinking of His goodness and what He means to us, worshiping in the Spirit, singing spiritual songs, making melodies in our heart. Oh, but this ain't just good in church. This is good on the job. This is good at Walmart. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spirituals? Now sometimes we need slow psalms. Sometimes we need hymns. Precious memory. How they linger. You got to be careful of them songs. Precious mother. Loving father. Drag out the hanky. Now when you're down, precious memory is probably not the right selection. You understand? You understand how important it is for a song leader when he comes in here to catch the feel of the service? People come in all down and out, lowering a snake's belly, and you come in here and singing some of them, oh Lord, have mercy, I might as well just fold up my iPad and go to the house. Why? Because songs have the ability to set the mood. Hundreds of people can be affected by a song leader or by a special singer, and they take the service a total different direction than what God's leading me to go. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Go tell. Our hearts are made happy and light as we sing the psalms and listen to the testimonies of others. Do you know what happens to you natural as well as spiritual? Your body goes to releasing endorphins, dopamine. Dopamine ain't just for dope heads. No. God made you to be able to have all these chemicals in your body. And your emotions react and respond to these things. Notice again, don't you love those old songs? I'd rather have them than all that you can, these other kind of songs you can have. Them's good old heartfelt songs. Oh my, I feel so good and happy when I sing them just good. Amen. Praise God. I can see it now. Tomorrow on the Johnson City Press, they'll be covering the parades. They'll be covering all this and that and the other. But they'll be covering the church which has already been on the front page of their paper before. Thinking something peculiar and strange is issuing forth from this troublesome church again. All these people have been noted to be singing more. People have called in really concerned about them, wondering what the pastor handed out on Sunday, because they're smiling more. They've got more joy. They've got more peace about them. What in the world is that man giving out? It's the gospel. It's the power of Jesus Christ. It don't take away all of our troubles, but it helps us to know how to deal with them. I want you to listen to yourself. Beneath every thought, dream, or action lies a remarkable chemical dance, as they call it. More than 100,000 chemical reactions go on in your brain every second. So you can see, if you get the chemist messed up, you're messed up. You've heard of chemical imbalances in folks' body, haven't you? Things that happen inside the body, and this isn't right and that isn't right. And they go to the doctor and they do tests. They yell, this ain't right and that ain't right. What are they trying to do? They're trying to help something, because something has got inside the interceptors. The neurotransmitters are either putting out too much or not enough as they fire one to the other. And they go to taking a medication. What does it do? It balances out. It balances out and helps them. Notice this, more than 100,000 chemical reactions go on in your brain every second. The brain is also a radio transmitter, which, think of what God made when he made you. And you think you evolved, do you? As dumb as some of us are, if we would have evolved, we would have become a rat or a mushroom. Or a camel or a tree. We ain't got enough sense to evolve into this. Come on, get real. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take these pieces of oak, these pieces of poplar plywood. I'm going to take these pieces of pilasters, which I bought down in Jonesboro. I'm going to take all this carpet, this green plastic from China, these flowers are made out of. I'm going to take this black piece of metal. I'm going to take this wood, maple, on this guitar. I'm going to take the steel on this chair. I'm going to take the wires running under the platform. I'm going to take all this stuff up and tear it all apart, and then I'm going to put it in a pile, and let's see how long it would take to evolve back into a platform. But let me do it this way. Let me take a one before. A table saw. A deep router. Bits. Let me take all types of different tools and put it in the hands of someone who knows how to fabricate. They would be able to turn this back into a platform because it is the ability given to them. The ability is not given to the oak tree. Oh, it's beautiful when it's finished, but the oak tree can't do that itself. It cannot take a piece of sandpaper. I'm going to turn myself into a pulpit. Boy, I'm going to be beautiful when I get done. Man alive. And I'm going to stain myself, and I'm going to put myself with another board, and then I'm going to spray myself, and man, I'm going to be pretty. I want to look at that walnut on that organ, made 1964 or something like that. I'm going to turn myself into all that, all the transistors, all the tubes, the three amplifiers, the cords, the cables, all that's inside of there. I'm going to hoof and turn myself into an organ. Baloney. You are here because of a creator. Can I go on? The brain is a radio transmitter which sends out measurable electrical wave signals. In fact, the brain continues to send out these signals many hours after death. Among the brain's many jobs is to be your own chemist. The brain produces more than 50 identified active drugs. Some of these are associated with memory, others with intelligence, still others are sedatives. Don't you see why Satan wants folks hooked on drugs? There's something in their body. Every day you have drugs inside of you. The ones that God put there. So Satan wants to mess you up in your body and offer you an alternative out here. And he can really mess you up. Don't sit there and look at me bug-eyed. Notice this. Molecules called neurotransmitters are in constant flux throughout the brain, manufactured and released by the billions of neurons a human brain possesses. Wow. They orchestrate how we feel, act, and react. Special cells called neurons are responsible for information transport through the brain. So one day you was a glob out in a pond and you decided you need some neurotransmitters, you globby glob, and you needed some neurons. Oh, come on, friends. How can man and all of his brilliance believe such stupidity? To relay this information, they use small chemicals called neurotransmitters, which are released from one neuron and received by another, using special docks or receptors to recognize the neurotransmitter and pass the information on to the cell body. Boy, you didn't know you was doing all this, did you? It ain't no wonder you're so wore out. Now look at these things that happen. Dopamine. Of all the neurotransmitters in the brain, dopamine is the one most associated with pleasure. Though endorphins also play a large part. Everything that makes you feel good is down to a dopamine and the effect it has on the brain. Moreover, every known addictive substance affects dopamine release in what's known in the brain's rearward pathway. So God made the body with chemicals. So the body gets all stressed and all upset or something goes wrong. And Satan says, no problem. I've got all these things out here. Either on the street or in the doctor's office. They will help you. They will, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're here to help you. After all, God meant for you to be happy. He didn't mean for you to be a pothead. A drug addict. A drunk. Let's have church, what do you say? Yeah. Notice this. So this affects the brain's reward pathway, the equivalent of a neurological circuit connecting experience with feeling good. So here the neuron, as it comes and becomes excited from the release of energy that comes from the dopamine, then it releases this feel-good feeling in your body. And your brain rewards you with what you did by making you feel good. And then once you did that, your brain wants that again. That's the addictive behavior or whatever it is that we do that makes us feel good outside of Christ. Then our brain says, I want that again. I want that again. I want that again. And when you do it again, then the brain releases more and it makes you feel good. And before long, you're totally dependent on something exterior to make you feel good. And the more you use it and the more you do it, the more you need it. I'm going to preach with or without you. Whew. Oh my. Now you imagine, every known addictive substance affects dopamine release. Oh, so the mad scientist out here has got all kinds of opiates, barbiturates, all kinds of drinks, all kinds of things that he, by studying the makeup and the anatomy and the chemistry of man, knows how to run that right in there and goes right to your brain and releases the feel good. Oh, the euphoria. Regulating dopamine's effects throughout the brain are its receptors, of which there are five known main variants, D1 through D5. Alongside pleasure, these receptors ensure the involvement of dopamine in a range of activities, from movement and attention to memory. Drugs such as cocaine and amphetamines lead to a sharp temporary rise in dopamine within the brain. So what does Satan do? He introduces something external which will make you feel so good, so quick, and it just whoosh, until the effect wears off. Glutamate. It's the brain's on switch, known as the excitatory neurotransmitter. This tiny molecule does pretty much what it says on the tin, wherever it finds a receptor to dock with. It causes the hosting neuron to become excited. I'm a glutamate preacher. I try to find little floating neurons in Happy Valley by which what I'm preaching can dock with. And whenever I can find somebody to dock with, then the hosting neuron becomes excited. Don't you see, when you look at God's great laboratory, you'll see Christ and the bride all through it. An excited nerve is one that's more likely to fire. An excited nerve don't just smoke. It ain't, well, I'm trying to fire. It don't just smoke, it fires. Resulting in the release of its own unique mix of neurotransmitters. Wow. Well, Google's going to be burning up this evening. Eh? Y'all going to be typing in glucocalyparbonates and GABA. Notice this GABA. It is a neurotransmitter acting as glutamate's lazy twin. Its sole purpose being to slow things down. We've got a few GABAs in our church. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Lazy twin. Its sole purpose being to slow things down, dampen and inhibit nervous activity. Like glutamate, the GABA receptors are split into two types. GABA-A receptors respond to GABA-A binding by allowing the flow of ions across nerve membranes. The GABA-B receptors involve intermediaries in the process. You say, Brother Donnie, do you expect me to remember all this? I don't, so we'll have it on the website and you can read it later. Drugs that stimulate these receptors tend to slow the brain down. Oh, yes. So Satan says, hey, try this. Young people, God have mercy on you. Don't go this way of the world. It'll help you. It just relaxes you. Of course. And I read to you why it does. But it's against God's law. If you need a relaxing, the Holy Ghost wants to be your relaxer. So it's no surprise to discover alcohol affects these receptors. Drugs activating GABA receptors are found everywhere. Liquid ecstasy, or GHB, has become well known as a date rape drug, while other activators, such as whatever that word is, are used as clinical contexts to help people get more sleep and lessen anxiety. These drugs are easy to overdose on and produce tolerance. You need to take more and more to achieve the same effect. Who does this sound like to you? The mad scientist. So he causes stress problems, which affects our own body's production ability to produce these things. But we're crying for them. We need them. We need them. Oh, no problem. This guy over here sells them. He hangs out at the gas station. He hangs out at the Dollar General. Who says a dollar won't buy much anymore? So you stop and get you a little. And it helps you. Don't you see what you did? Don't you see what you did? The Lord Jesus was in your car. The Lord Jesus was in your conscience. The Lord Jesus in your mind. Telling you, I'll be your help. I'll be what you need to help you. But instead, you turned him down and went over and got you something from that guy. Serotonin. 95% of the body's serotonin is actually in the gut. From the looks of some ours, we got a bunch of it. Anyway, about the 5% in the brain has a big effect on mood. A person's overall state of mind. How they feel about themselves and the external world at a point in time. Now you can imagine these chemicals in our body, it's what's affecting our moods. Y'all ever get up in a bad mood some days? Amen. Or something happened and it affects your mood. I mean, you're in a good mood and all of a sudden a bad mood happens. You say, what in the world went on? Chemistry changed in your brain. You got a phone call, you got a text, you heard some bad news. You ever hear a bad news? And either fever or flushing or a very strange feeling sweep over your body? Have you? What is that? It's your brain reacting and the neurotransmitters are putting it out to your body. It's fight or flight. Do I run? Do I get out of here? What do I do? I can't wait to see him destroyed in hell. For what he's done to humanity. As you might expect, laying the burden of something as complex as mood on a single molecule can be oversimplifying things a little. But remarkably, this simple molecule does have a big impact on your mind. The link between serotonin and how you feel is down to the large variety of serotonin receptors throughout the brain. Like throwing a pebble into a lake, serotonin causes ripples. Of effect. A lack of serotonin in the brain associated with depression, which is why drugs called SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, such as Prozac, are commonly prescribed to help treat depression. So the devil robs you of part of what God placed in your body to help drive off depression so he can give you one of his. I hope this transforms the way we look at things. Such drugs can cause an increase in the overall levels of serotonin in the brain, leading in many cases to diminished symptoms. Certain recreational drugs, such as MDMA, ecstasy, and LSD, acid, can also stimulate serotonin receptors. So what are drugs, cigarettes, alcohol, what's it all doing? It's responding to something in you. Who knew that? Who knew that? Who knew that LSD would be able to affect the serotonin in a human's brain? Who knew it? The mad scientist. Amen.
So he stresses you and depresses you with work and trouble and failures and all kinds of things around you. And it slows down for the productions of your own body. And then he has all these options all around you every day. Lord God. Such drugs can increase in the overall levels of serotonin in the brain, leading in many cases to diminished symptoms. Certain recreational drugs. Yeah. Low down, sorry word to describe it. To stimulate serotonin receptors, leading to altered or extreme moods. MDMA has two major effects on serotonin, causing it to be released as well as blocking the receptors involved in reabsorption. Meaning higher levels of serotonin remain in the synaptic cleft. So what's he doing? Altering your body's natural ability. So it's the mad scientist studying the original scientist's laboratory. And pouring this in with this and mixing that in with that. And instead of producing sons and daughters of God that are filled with the Holy Ghost, drug addicts, dope fiends, people out of their minds. However, MDMA also depletes the levels of serotonin in the brain. At least in the short term. This is likely responsible for the come down phenomenon after the positive effects of the drug wear off. So it depletes what your body's supposed to make, and then you've had this bottom out feeling. Yeah, that's the way he plays ball. LSD has a very similar structure. Now listen, friends, this is not from a church website. These are doctors, Mayo Clinics. These are from all kinds of studies around the world. This ain't a church website. This is what they have found out about the human body. LSD has a very similar structure to serotonin. Oh, it does it? And who was it that made such a structure? God made serotonin and put it in the body where the receptors would send it out, knowing we would need it, Brother Dow. But you won't get overdosed on your body doing it. No. You won't get overdosed on dopamine because God's got it in there to balance you out. But where you get overdosed in addictions is from Him. Hell yeah. Let me skip something here and go over. Brother Brad, let's jump way over here. We'll close here momentarily. Let's skip past some of these things. Go past the Psalms there, the scripture reading in Psalms. Let's come to thirst and we'll try to wind down here shortly. Brother Bradman said in Thirsting for Life, paragraph 19 in Indianapolis, that thirst that's in you is a creation of God. Right and wrong is set before you as a tree of life and death in the Garden of Eden. God made you to thirst? How dare you? How dare you to take that blessed thirst that God has put in you, the thirst after Him, and try to quench it on the things of the world? The devil trying to make men and women run the nightclubs and cocktail parties and live immorally because they are thirsting. And that thirst that's in you is of God. They'll never believe it. But at the day of judgment, they'll stand there and answer, and He will say, did you not run to nightclubs? Did you not do this? Yes, I did. I condemn you to hell. I created that in you. That funny feeling whenever you got the tract that day. That funny feeling when you passed by the church sign. God so loved the world. Something come over you. That was me. It'll never be satisfied under Christ. The fountain of everlasting life fills your soul. It's totally impossible. The devil will make you believe that you are living, but you are dead in sin and trespasses. You believe these things, church? God made you to have pleasure. Huh? That's what the prophet said. Absolutely. Some pleasures is not sinful unless you're trying to use it to replace God. You can turn hunting into an idol. Oh, I can say this now because we're coming close to hunting season. You can turn hunting into an idol. You can turn RVing into an idol. Turn golfing into an idol. Why? Because whatever it is you enjoy doing releases dopamine in your body and it makes you feel good. For some of you workaholics, that's where you get your high. This is where you get it. Your dopamine in your body just pushes you. You could stay up all hours of the night. But not to pray or read your Bible, of course. Watch how sly he is. Handwriting on the wall, 1956. Our little teenage children out here in school, they start them off smoking cigarettes, and they go from there to marijuana. And many of the schools are permitting the children to smoke in class just before they have a test. Now, this is 1956. You imagine what he said today about our states legalizing marijuana? Well, he ain't here to say it, but I am. It'll lead further to our demise and destruction. Already some states are having questions about it because more people found on the roads in automobile accidents, insurance companies, all kinds of things. The devil comes in with just a little opium. Just like they take a little schoolgirl. The first thing they'll do, get her to smoke a cigarette. Now watch the chain of events. Get her to smoke a cigarette. That gets her started. And the next thing they do, get her a little stronger. And the first thing, it ends up into marijuana. So the prophet is not projecting marijuana as a harmless thing that's so pleasant and so good. Who is it here that don't like this today? I'm fixing to get you. Did you? You? It ain't you, is it? I was scared you, didn't you? You thought I was getting Brother Chisholm's anointing on me. I want to make you smile a little bit for the rest that's coming. The devil comes in with a little opium. Now watch how he moves. Starts out with smoking cigarettes. Harmless, of course, the people say. The next thing that will take you a little stronger, then the first thing ends up into marijuana. Then from that on to the real dope habit. So the prophet starts with smoking cigarettes. Then the next step, step two, is marijuana. Then marijuana leads on up to the other. Oh, but Brother Donnie, you don't understand. A lot of folks never go any farther than marijuana. Oh, I know that. That's why Brother Branham went on with this question. So the devil isn't smoking cigarettes and in the mild form. And if he sees you're pretty smart and don't catch to that, he'll never let it go any farther than cigarettes. So some of you think you can go to marijuana and say, well, I've got it all under control. And he'll never let you go no farther than that. You're still destroyed. Well, you just go to a little bit of up and down. Or some of you are addicted to your pain medication, your opioids, of this and that and the other. Look, friends, I'm not against you taking medication. Do it. Take it in the name of Jesus. But take it saying, God, I believe you're going to bring healing to me. I don't think you want me to live the rest of my life on these things. I believe I can live in Christ Jesus by the power of God without Satan's laboratory messing up with my brain. And it's an amazing, so if you're pretty smart and you consider yourself kind of cool, you know, he'll never let you go any farther than cigarettes. See, as long as you can hold out that long enough, he'll get your life snapped out. So some folks never go beyond cigarettes as far as they go. Others go beyond cigarettes and they go to smoking. So I ain't going to get another that big stuff. No, sir, not me. I'm too cool. I'm too in control. He'll never let you go any farther. He'll let you stay right there being convinced you're under control. But your biggest sin is smoking something to replace what God wanted to give you. He knows that you can't go into God said so, but you hear sermon after sermon, message after message, punch after punch on it, warning after warning on it. And if you just can't ward you off and keep your mind on something else as being a pauper person, you've got to have it or something like that. He just holds you there until he gets you out. Let me close with this. I'm looking at a little alcoholic that was healed in the Hammond meeting. God bless you, sister. Just happened to recognize you. Can't think of your name right now. I've seen you and talked with you. Y'all know what her name is? Rosella. If there happened to be an alcoholic here tonight and the Alcoholic Anonymous has failed and all, here's such a beautiful little lady sitting here. There was a past Alcoholics Anonymous and all. And Jesus Christ called her and made her well. Solemnly, soberly, sitting here now perfectly normal and well. Say, man, alcoholism is a sickness. Do you understand? Drug addiction is a sickness. It's a sickness, friends. It is a sickness. There's something wrong with your body. Not enough power in your soul to withstand it. That's been 2 or 3 years ago, hasn't it? Sister says 4 years ago. 4 years ago. I wonder, sister, if you'd stand up for a minute. How many would like to see her? Just raise your hand. There she is. An answer to the power of God. Oh, Lord God. I hope some of you will be able to leave out of here today and say, I am an answer to the power of God. Amen. When God in the room called the little woman and told her what she was and who she was and all about her and told her where she was, and God taking the drink away from her right then. And she's not glorifying her drinking, but she's glorifying Christ who took it from her. And you told, think of this now, and you think you can get cigarettes and tobacco and dope and alcohol and things like that? Talk to her a minute. She can tell you where salvation lays. Oh yes, and the opium needle or anything else, marijuana, whatever it is, Christ delivers. So Brother Branham does not put marijuana as, you know, sucking on a Starburst or just a marshmallow. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what this man believed. Young people, stay away from it. You that stream in this service, stay away from it. Any of you that's familiar with the drugs, you know yourself, they call marijuana the gateway. The gateway. Let's stand together. Some of you will never smoke a cigarette. My goodness. Thinking about marijuana would be so repulsive to you, or cocaine or whatever. But if you get your extreme happiness out of gossiping or Facebook or out of any other thing other than Christ, amen, you're still sinning. Amen. Do we enjoy things of life? We do. I enjoy getting to go hunting. I enjoy seeing the mountains, the trees, of this and that and the other. But with my deepest pleasure, it's always in coercion. And simplicity points me back to my greatest pleasure. My Lord God made those trees. When Carol was up at Brother Ron Spencer's, and for our first time we was able to go through the Skyline Drive, the parkway there, Shenandoah Park. We took a few hours on Saturday morning. I'd always heard about it. Passed by it for decades going preaching. But going preaching, you don't have time to stop and visit much. So you just go from one place to another. So I decided, since I wasn't preaching, we'd drive and take our time. We just got up there for a few hours and looked across the valleys, and there were the clouds hanging low, and was higher actually than the clouds were, and seeing the great big rocks and the springs, and oh my goodness. We just had a nature revival. Now, after studying this, I realized what was going on. Endorphins was being released. And my body, naturally, there's nothing wrong with that. That's why some of you get so happy you see your kids do this or that or the other, or little things that might not mean nothing to anybody else, but all of a sudden you get a rush that goes over you. That's your body reacting to what you saw, or something that you heard that made you so proud of what your little boy said, or your little girl, and just this feel-good feeling come over you. Another reason it's good to go to church. Because if you go into a real church where there's alive with the power of God, you get mega releases of endorphins. Woo! Praise God! Don't you love him? Look at you today. Look at you. Would you want to drive up to Walgreens or Rite Aid or Walmart or wherever it is you're, get your prescriptions filled? And you see some kid standing behind there and said, pick up a prescription for Donnie Reagan. Reagan, how do you spell that? Reagan, R-I-G-W-A-O. What is you wanting? Well, I've got this on, so I'll fix it up for you, buddy. And you say, you're looking for his name on them certificates on the wall there. And you say, oh my goodness, he ain't on there. What will that guy give me? Oh, some of you, if you found out he was not licensed, you would sue Walgreens. You would take everything in the world you could get off of him. But you'll let your pharmacist, you'll let your own private personal pharmacist issue negativity, thoughts of all kinds of horrible things, bad, wicked things. Why don't you sue him? Why don't you throw him out? And say, never again am I taking your words. I'm filtering what you say through the Word of God. Oh no. But you'll let this death-issuing pharmacist reign in your mind, in your brain. All kinds of negativity. Your joy is gone. Your peace is gone. Then your production in your body starts flowing down. Then you go to the doctor. The doctor says, well, you've got depression. You need this, and you need this pill. And took with that pill, with that pill, with that pill, with that pill. And then you get to feel a little bit better. And then you turn over in a magazine, you realize all the side effects. And there's these two things here on the top it helps, and 37 things on the bottom that it hurts. And then you put that with another drug, and that with another drug, and that with another drug, and it comes... How sad, children. How sad. I was amazed by the chairman. I got to looking at this a few weeks ago. How many times Brother Man mentioned dope addicts, narcotics. You know in the book of Revelation, I preached it to you before. God said they would not repent of their witchcrafts. Pharmutica, pharmacia, drugs. Our world is caught up in it. Thank God we've got the opium from the lily of the valley. God produced to us a real opium. This one won't kill you. The prophet said opium was in lilies. He also said opium was in lettuce. So he said, you sit down and eat a bunch of lettuce. And all of a sudden, he said, you feel a calm feeling come over you. Lord have mercy, I can say it right now. Some of y'all is going to order a wash tub of lettuce for dinner. There won't be no lettuce within 100 miles of Johnson City. Now that church in Happy Valley has turned into a bunch of rabbits. Why is it, friends? Oh, you're laughing. But why is it? We were made to feel good. So we do things and we long for things that make us feel good. And when we find it, even though it may not be right and it may be wrong, it's like we're drawn to it. Can't you see how that's why there's such a struggle that Satan will put between you and God? He knows if you ever get connected the right way, you'll have the best feeler gooder you ever had in your life. And all his feel good stuff will wind up in the trash because he can't even compare to what he can do. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I hope they don't think I'm crazy. I hope the message folks don't think I flipped out or something by bringing these things. Lord Jesus, as I begin to study them, I've been so overwhelmed. You see, yesterday, Lord, what a struggle I had trying to bring the message together. And hard to sleep none last night. Just sleep a little and wake up, sleep a little and wake up. Think about the service, which way to go today. Feeling such the anointing even in my bedroom last night. Lord God. Oh, Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you, Father. Help us, Lord. Begin with me. Lord, don't let anything I do, anything in my life, help me. That nothing becomes a replacement for the joy and the peace that you give, Lord. And I know the key is falling in love with you, staying in love with you. Well, as long as we do that, there's nobody that'll ever replace you. When a man falls in love with a woman and a woman with a man, and they really love one another right, with you there in their heart to keep it so, she'll start to age and he'll start to age and she'll lose some of her beauty, him his masculinity. But instead of them falling out of love, they'll fall in greater love with each other. And they realize it wasn't so much just the looks and the strengths, but there's something on the inside that's beyond that. May it be that way with us and you, Lord Jesus. We just fall deeper and deeper in love with you. We know one of these chemicals that's released in our body is the intimacy emotion. A chemical that's actually released, that if it's not released in animals, they will abandon their young. When they give men a mega dose of this, it made them act different around single women. They were in a monogamous relationship and it made them act with more restraint and decency. And not misbehave themselves. It's the intimate game. And doctors say, when we hug one another, that it releases this endorphin into our body. It's even more powerful than shaking a hand. So the doctors recommend that we ought to hug one another, our children, our mates, our companions, at least 8 times a day, because it releases that endorphin in our body. No wonder Satan tries to come against our homes and our families and break off these flow of chemicals in our lives. Lord Jesus, if we did all this naturally, we'd still be a failure without you. But we don't just see the natural element, we see a divine element that's there as well. So Lord, we want to put our arms around you, as it were, and let the spiritual endorphins flow. We love to feel your arms around us. You pulling us up close to you. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Minister to the sick. Minister to the needy, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. My soul longeth after thee. My soul thirsts for the living God. For the living God. Hallelujah. Satisfy, oh satisfy. Lamb of God, that created desire. You, by your spoken word, placed in our seed. By the mouth of God, it was made to be me. Satisfy that longing with your blessed word. Satisfy that hunger with the ability to be heard. Satisfy that desire and the crave deep within as we long and yearn for the Holy Spirit to come in. Blessed Lord God, may we not put any of our activities, our hobbies, no matter how much we enjoy them, in front of you, Lord Jesus. We love you with all of our hearts today, Father. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Praise God. Why don't you just close your eyes and I'll let you go just momentarily here, but let His presence come near you. They ought to minister to you today. Young people, middle-aged, old people, all of us. Don't let that little fox of substitution come and try to satisfy this longing and convince you you're all right. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be totally fulfilled in life without Christ Jesus being inside of you. Hallelujah. May God so charge us today with His presence that we can raise our cup up, Lord, and say, here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I long. Oh, till I want no more. Till I'm searching no more, Lord. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands as it was with our figurative cup in it? Empty out all the trash of the devil. Empty out all the substitutes he'd like to put in there to try to tell you you don't need God. You're too young. You can serve God later. You ain't got a promise of a tomorrow. You better give Him your heart now. Hallelujah. What about us old timers that's been around serving the Lord for years and years? How many feel like today you'd like a refilling of your cup? Oh, praise God. My hands are up, Lord, with my cup. Oh, Jesus, let the Holy Ghost come through this place today, I pray, Father. May there be another baptism of the Holy Ghost that would fall on us tonight, today, Lord God, to give us your power, Lord. Amen. Oh, we're not looking just to serotonin and gabbin and all gabbin, all those things. But Lord God, we're looking from the power of from on high. The power of the living God which has raised us from the dead. We need you, Lord Jesus, like never before. We worship you today, Lord. We magnify your name. Oh, let's worship him, friends. Let's meditate on him. Let's think about him. Hallelujah. Whatever you have need of in your life, in your home, on your job, if you're not the kind of Christian you need to be, may the presence of the Lord Jesus help you. Maybe you're here today and there's certain needs in your body, and right now you just got to take that medication and you don't want it, but yet you feel like you have to. May God help you. May God give you strength, friends. I'm not preaching against your medicine now. I'm not preaching against you going to doctors, but don't let doctors replace the Lord Jesus. Don't let medication replace the healing power of God. Amen. Don't just settle down. Well, I guess I'm stuck with this all of my life. No, he suffered stripes so you could be healed. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, let's sing it together. Here's my cup, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. Here's my cup. I lift it up to you today, Lord. I take the substitutes of the devil and I throw them out in the trash pile because that's where they belong. Fill me, Lord Jesus, with your goodness and your mercy and your kindness, oh Lord God. Oh, blessed Jesus. May you move among us today, oh God, I pray. I call upon your name, Lord. We need you like never before, Heavenly Father. Move among our young people, Lord. Oh, Satan will try to offer them so many things, but may they have the power of God within them. Lord, as you spoke to me the second night, oh God, of the Bible camp for them and what to speak, and you told me that early that morning, Lord, tell them they need power. I remind them again today, their will won't do it. Their knowledge of the message won't do it. They need power. It'll have to be the power of the Holy Ghost in them. Grant it to them today, Jesus. Not only do they need power, but us old people need it as well. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, let me put my arms around you so my spiritual endorphins will be able to release that spiritual intimacy that I need with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We worship you today, God. We worship you, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. I'll let you go here shortly. Here's my cup, Lord. Oh God, I lift it up to you, my Lord. Come and quench. Oh, hallelujah. To you, Jesus. Young, old, middle-aged, those that are streaming today, God, maybe some that are backslid, some that are cold and indifferent, oh God, give them strength, I pray. Give them strength and courage to raise their backslidden hands, oh God. Amen. Bread of heaven, feed us till come dismiss us.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for a revelation that you surpass anything, Lord, that this world might offer. You fill up a void, Lord, that nothing else can fill. You give us a joy that nothing else can compare to. You are higher and mightier and greater and more loving and more kind, Lord, than anything that this world tries to substitute for you. Lord, we're so fortunate. I'm so grateful, Father, that you've given us the truth, that you've given us revelation, that you've called us out to be separate, Lord, from among this hateful world. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the great mercy you've shown us. Thank you for the great joy you've given us, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for the order that you put in the church, Lord, where you can come and speak to us. Lord, thank you for giving us hearts to receive, ears to hear, eyes to see your word. Lord, you're so merciful to us. Thank you so much, Lord. There's nothing that compares to you, Father. We love you so much. We love you so much, Lord. Lord, please be with the saints until we can come together again safely, Lord, to worship and praise you and learn of you and receive more revelation until that day that you'll come for us once and for all. We love you, Lord. And again, thank you so much for what you do for us. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Thank you so much for the encouragement, Lord. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints.
The more I seek you, the more I find. The more I find you, oh, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find. Thank you. seek you. The more I find you, the more I find you.